Welcome to Gen Z Hoops. The Gen Z basketball, coaching, and sports business show. On this podcast, you'll learn from professional players, coaches, and executives from all over the world and see the court in a brand new way. And now, joining you courtside, your Gen Z host, John Hartafillis.
Hey, Coach Jenny, what's going on?
How you doing? How's it going?
Great. I hope you're having a great day and really excited to kind of break down all the cool stops you've made on this basketball journey you're on.
Yeah, I'm having a phenomenal day. Just trying to stay sane with everything that's going on in the world. But other than that, can't complain.
Of course. Best of luck in doing all that. And real quick, just to start us off for our listeners, can you kind of give us a quick little walkthrough of maybe how you first got introduced to the game, what kind of got you to fall in love with it? What did that look like for you?
I first got introduced to basketball when I was about, I was about 10 or 8 or 10, somewhere in there. Melvin Burke, I actually played football first. And I was playing football, and he came and watched my football game. And then I would be at the park, which was right across the street from my home, and kind of just playing with the boys and things like that. And he saw me and kind of came over to my grandmother's house and knocked on the door and asked me to come work out with his team and play. Start. He had like an AAU little training team he had. So that's pretty much how I got started. From there, I ended up playing at East Tech for 3 years, which is in Cleveland, Ohio. And then I graduated from Lutheran East. I played there 1 year. And then from there, you know, I played 4 years at Xavier with what I would say is 4 outstanding great years at Xavier. Left Xavier, had the opportunity to play professionally. So then I went overseas to Europe. I was in Helsinki, Finland and Wiesbaden, Germany. And I lived in Europe for a little minute. And then, you know, once I knew that I wanted to retire, I knew that basketball would be, you know, the career I would stay in. And so as soon as I came back, I got the opportunity to coach on a staff with a guy named Mike Bradbury, who was actually an assistant coach at Xavier when I was being recruited there. And then he left there in my freshman year to go be the head coach at Morehead State. And then he became the head coach at Wright State. And so that's where I got my first opportunity.
That's awesome. And then you touched on that kind of transition to your coaching journey. What did it look like for you, obviously having a stellar career at Xavier and doing all these amazing things, to then transition into this whole new world of coaching?
I think you learn a lot about yourself as a player. I think you learn the discipline component and, you know, the work ethic and all those things as a player, which kind of guides you into, you know, right into coaching, because you have to have that, you know, the instincts and things like that, as far as like recruiting and things of that nature. You know, winners always want to win. And it's like, no matter whether it's you playing basketball or you coaching it, or you know, if you're a competitor, you have a competitive nature about you, you always want to win. And so, you know, I'm a competitor. I was a competitor as a player, and I'm sure I'm a competitor as a coach. So there was no drop off there.
That's great. And it's amazing that you're able to keep the same level of intensity kind of across both professions, which is obviously very sometimes difficult to do. You obviously were an assistant coach at a couple different schools in Florida. Now you're with Monverde. What is it about Florida, or maybe the basketball culture that makes you love it so much and want to stay there?
I don't know that it's so much in Florida. I think that it's the school, Monverde Academy. I mean, I think I would love them if they were in New York or if they were in Texas. This school is just a phenomenal place. I think that, you know, when this position became open and I, you know, once I saw it and I was like, man, this is a place that I can really go and build and grow and do something phenomenal. And, you know, that's why I'm here. We have phenomenal facilities. We have phenomenal resources. We have a head of school that is absolutely involved and definitely, you know, he's very super supportive of everything with our program and with every program at the school. And so when you have administration and everything back you, it makes your job that much easier. And you know, it gives you that opportunity to show some success. And so that's been great. But Montverde is a special place, no pun intended, but I'm happy to be here.
Of course, that's great. And the pun was in terms of it is really a special place. Through all this stuff at Monteverde, you obviously have so many opportunities to do all these amazing things and travel the country and play against all these other ranked teams. What is that kind of like for you? How crazy was that kind of seeing that side of high school basketball, which 99% of the country can't really get to that point where they're traveling and doing all these amazing things? What was that like for you?
I think that's another reason why I took the job here, to have the opportunity to compete at a national level. You know, that's something that a lot of places don't get that opportunity. There's a few, but to be able to travel and play, you know, top competitors night in and night out and be able to find, you know, those great teams from different states and different cities and get to compete against them. That's something serious, especially at this level. I think that our school affords young ladies the opportunity of, hey, this is what it's going to look like at the collegiate level for those of you that want to play at a high level, at a major collegiate level. And you know, you have that schedule, you have that itinerary, you have those details of what it looks like. And they're getting the opportunity that a lot of people aren't getting just by being able to travel and be on a strict schedule.
Of course, then when it comes to yourself and your coaching, you've been in so many different areas, whether it's being in basketball operations, in industry, scouting, an administrative assistant, planning practices. You've kind of been done everything. How much does that help you in kind of how you coach and in doing all those different things?
Oh, it's a big help. I think that for any young coach out there that wants to be a head coach at some point in their career, I would say go coach at a Division II. And I say that because I went and I coached at a Division II, and it's not like Division I where you have, you know, four assists, you know, you have four coaches, you have a director of basketball operations, you have a video coordinator, you have GAs, you have, you know, managers, different things. At the Division II level, it's the head coach and one assistant. And so you pretty much have to do everything. And in doing that, like, you know, I learned so much about myself as a coach. And then I learned so many other things basketball related, you know, offense side of the ball, defense side of the ball, special ATOs, out of timeouts, blobs, slobs, you know, different things that I had to learn because I was like thrown into the fire. There wasn't, you know, three other coaches where, you know, well, you specifically do this and you specifically do that. I had to scout, I had to recruit, I had to practice plan, I had to be a, you know, academic liaison, community service liaison. You know, you wore so many different hats at that level that I think that's what truly prepared me for when I did go to the Division I level and then now as a head coach.
I love that. And obviously it's great that, well, it must've been very difficult to take all that in at the same time. It obviously prepared you for what you're doing now. And one of the biggest things that I thought would be obviously a challenge at the level of high school basketball that you're coaching at is obviously all your young ladies are dealing with the outside pressures of the kind of the hype that exists with kind of the new last 5-10 years of this kind of social media culture. Over time, the constant, I would imagine there's people with cameras and huge video monitors at all your games. What's that kind of like as you as a coach navigating that or navigating the young ladies on your team through that?
For me, it's just more so keeping them, you know, letting them know the outside doesn't matter. It's all about the inside. I was fortunate enough to play at a high level. And, you know, when I was in college, the lights were on us. We were top three in the country, you know, so that pressure, I understand that pressure. I know what it feels like. I know what it looks like. So just getting them to understand that, you know, the outside world is the distraction. You know, the only focus you need to have is on whatever game it is we have at hand. You know, we play one game at a time. I'm a type of coach where I don't care anything about the rankings. I leave that to the people. You know, people are going to say what they want. They're going to talk about you when you lie. They're going to talk about you when you're dead. They're going to talk about when you do good. They're going to talk about you when you do bad. So, it you know, that stuff doesn't matter. You have to learn to focus on the task at hand. And the young ladies that I have, I think that they've done a phenomenal job up until this point at just worrying about us. You know, we don't worry about who we play. You know, we worry about how we play. And at the end of the day, if we play the way that we're supposed to play and we stick to the standard, that has been set forth for our program. You know, we have an opportunity to be in or win, you know, every game we play in. You know, I've never told them, hey, you know, we're going to be undefeated. You're going to win every game. You know, I'm not that coach. I'll never say that, you know. But I do tell them, you know, our preparation we will be prepared to play and have the opportunity to win every game. And so they, you know, they know the difference. So pressure wise, you know, I think that they do a good job of just, you know, leaving the media where it is and just focusing on what we have to do and our goal.
That's so important. And I'd imagine it's something that's so prevalent. And is there a specific maybe moment you can kind of point back and say, wow, I can't believe we played at this venue or this game or against this great of a team or the game went that close down to the wire? Is there anything that immediately when you think of your time there sticks out to you?
Well, I've only been here 4 months, so I haven't had a super amount of experiences. I've been here 4 months. We're 14 games in. And also due to the pandemic, we haven't played in the type of events that we typically would have played in. So the Nike event that's in Arizona, probably the Run for the Roses in Jersey, the Classic in the Country in Ohio, you know, those different events we haven't had that opportunity to be a part of this year. But I will say, I think that the She Got Game event that we played in on New Year's Day was probably one of the better events that we've played in. Inside Exposure has a great event that we played in, but we only played one game there, but definitely She Got Game, we played some tough opponents. I thought, you know, those teams came out and did exactly what I thought they were going to do. They played extremely hard and they made it a game. It was a fight to the end and it was great for our program.
Amazing. And then in this COVID environment, what are kind of the rules and stuff for you guys down there in Florida where it's a little bit more open, where you're able to go to those kind of tournaments and have those experiences and still play basketball, whether it's with masks on and stuff like that? What does that look like for you guys?
I think a lot of the schools are doing a good job of you know, there's a limited amount of people that can actually be in a facility. Masks are required over the nose and over the mouth at all times. Temperature checks are done before you come in, before you exit. And so, you know, some of the protocols have been really, really good. And I think that, you know, for us, a lot of the events that we have played in and a lot of the teams that we are playing have done a great job of having protocol in place. So, you know, we feel safe. As long as we feel safe and as long as there are protocols, then you know, we're okay to play. You know, if there is no safety measure, then we kind of scale back and probably wouldn't play in that game.
Of course, safety always comes first. And all these things about your coaching career are so fantastic and great to think about. The one thing I did want to mention was through a mutual friend in Everest. What is kind of like kind of in that whole podcasting sphere with stuff, with the things over No Referees? What does that kind of look like and how have you enjoyed doing that so far?
Oh, No Referees is a dope podcast. My guy Everest, he has a phenomenal personality. He and I work together at University of Illinois Chicago, where he currently still works, and we have a phenomenal relationship. I think that's a great podcast where, you know, No Referees is in, like, no rules. It's kind of where you could freely speak freely. You can be yourself. You can be open. You can be honest as possible, because a lot of times, you know, in this world we live in with the media and everything, everyone feels as if, you know, there are certain things you can't say. You got to act a certain way. You got to speak a certain way. You got to do a certain thing. You oftentimes can't be yourself. And so we've created a platform where you can come on and kind of give your experiences, talk about your experiences and just, you know, give it to us real raw and uncut, you know, so that people know that there is another side to the business, another side to you, where it's not, you know, what you kind of see is sometimes a facade. You know, we want the real.
Of course, and getting that real stuff out of guests is obviously the most fun out of anything. And special thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome. I feel like I really can't wait to just see kind of what you do next, whether it's at Monverde or with No Referees or all these cool things. So thank you so much for coming on.
No problem, John. I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode. Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode.